Wow, what a wonderful weekend for the youth. And we had three youths from our campus and went to the camp, and one of them got baptized. So this is amazing. And also the other, one of the girls told me, and Pastor Shane, God is real. Wow. So that's why this camp is called Encounter. You know, they're going to encounter God and when they come together. Wonderful. Hey, we are into week three of our sermon series. It's called Babylon, based on the book of Daniel. And one of our church members, John, he has a pilot's license. So last year, he invited me to fly from Auckland to Coromandel with him. And so let me show you a photo of the plane. And John rented a small plane in a flight club in South Auckland. And so the club gave John a big full-page of a pre-flight checklist. So John has to go around the plane and tick all the boxes on the list. I had no idea what was on the list, okay? I don't even know what to look for. But I followed John closely, okay, to make sure he didn't miss any boxes on the paper. So as we took off, you know, that was a beautiful day. Everything looked clear in the sky. And John was looking at a mini iPad. That was the GPS in the plane. Look at this photo. Yeah, in the yellow circle, that was the GPS. The GPS in the flight was so different from the ones we use in cars. And there were lots of lines, you know, circles, and confusing numbers. And John was very nice guy. He was very patient. He tried his best to explain it to me. He said, Shane, you see, this line means this, okay? This circle means that. And those numbers, you know, tell us something else. So we need to follow the line, you know, and monitoring those numbers to make sure we can reach Coromandel. You know, I appreciate that, okay? I appreciated his explanation, but I still didn't understand why I needed to know that, because I can see Coromandel out of the window. It's there. We are not flying to Australia. I can see Coromandel with my eyes. But anyway, I did learn one thing from that GPS. When you are up in the air, you are following completely different rules and regulations. And those rules were carefully designed to ensure every plane reaches its destination. Today, if we want to reach the destination God has designed for us, we need to follow different rules. We cannot fly in the air by following the rules on the ground. We need to follow God's rules if we want to fulfill God's purpose for our life. Friends, we are designed to soar at a higher altitude for a greater purpose. So my hope for today's sermon is to encourage you to think bigger and see further, refocusing on God's plan for your life. So my sermon title is called Pursuing the Higher Calling. We're going to look at the book of Daniel, chapter 6, Daniel's prayer. You know, as many of you already learned from the previous weeks, and Daniel and his friend were taken to Babylon when they were teenagers, probably only 15 or 16 years old. Now, in chapter 6, Daniel is already in his 80s. Empires rise and fall. You know, the empire of Babylon was eventually conquered by Persians. Yet Daniel remained in the top position in this new kingdom. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 3, it says, "Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom." So you see, Daniel was still one of the top guys in the new kingdom. But we all know how it goes when someone is doing well in the workplace. People were super jealous. So other administrators tried to find something to use against Daniel. However, Daniel 6 verses 5 to 4, it says, they could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt or negligent. Finally, this man said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. So they came up with an evil scheme and convinced the king to sign the law like this. Daniel 6 verse 7. They say to the king, "King, anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den." Wow. So they suggest for a whole month, nobody could pray to any god except the king. Whoever breaks the law will be thrown into the lion's den. And the king agreed. But Daniel wasn't about to stop praying to God, even if it meant facing lions. Let's see Daniel 6 verse 10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Listen to this. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Just as he had done before, which means it was the pattern of his life. So Daniel wasn't trying to cause trouble or rebel against the law. Nope. Praying three times a day to God was just his daily routine. It was the pattern of his life. So here's a question for us all. Does the pattern of my life match the calling I'm pursuing? Are we like Daniel, allowing our daily routines to reflect the higher purpose we're living for? What's the pattern of my life speaks for me? And as you saw the Encounter Camp highlights last Monday, Monday afternoon, I went to Botany Campus to pick up some of the teenagers from the camp. So I asked them, "Hey, how do you feel?" And one of the boys told me, "Oh, I am so tired." He was so tired. One of the reasons was he shared a small cabin with five other boys. And some of them snored all night long. I relate to it. I can relate to it. I remembered back in my university days in China in the late 90s, you know, we had eight students squeezed in one dorm room. Wow, eight of us. Every night, the snoring make the room feel like a lion's den. And at our university, every night, all the lights were turned off at 11 p.m. Okay, non-negotiable. We have no control over it because the security guard will flick off the main switch at 11 p.m. sharp. Just like a zookeeper overseeing the lion's den. But the difference was the zookeeper would throw some chicken and lamb to the lions when they were hungry, but the security guard gave us nothing. Okay, if you want to find something to eat after 11 p.m., you need to search in the darkness. That's the reality of my student life in the university. So on the campus of 12,000 students, and I only knew two Christians during those years. And one of them was my roommate. His name was Chi. So every night, around 10:45, So 15 minutes before the lights out, Chi would lie on his bed, reading his Bible. Not very long, only 10 minutes. Okay, 10 minutes reading his Bible. After that, he would put his Bible on his chest and close his eyes like this. And I assume he was praying. But I could never find out how long he would be praying because the lights were out soon. So you see, only two Christians I knew in the 12,000 students campus. So his daily routine seemed so strange and funny to the rest of us. So I and other roommates, we just laughed at him. We teased him. We laughed at him for 3 years, every night. And Chi kept reading his Bible and praying every night for 3 years. Man, today when I look back over the years, I was teasing him back then, but now I have so much respect for this guy. To be honest, if I could have that kind of commitment in the Word of God in those 3 years, or if I can have that kind of consistency in anything I did, I could become a much better person in my 20s. We are not able to change what happened in the past, but we can define our future. You know, we are not able to change what happened in the past 3 years, but we can transform ourselves by establishing the new pattern of life in the next 3 years. The pattern of your life must match the calling you're pursuing. How do we do it? Well, I think we're going to learn two things, two actions in Daniel's pattern, in his daily routine. And let's get back to the same verse in chapter 6, verse 10. You know, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Let's stop here. The windows opened toward Jerusalem while he was praying in Babylon. So the first thing we learn from him is to see beyond your circumstances. See beyond your circumstances. When Daniel opened his window toward Jerusalem in prayer, he wasn't just praying in the direction to a physical city. He was praying, he was fixing his eyes on the vision, a promise that God had given to his people. It was a vision of restoration. It was a promise of returning home and rebuilding the city. What's God's promise to them? Let's get back to Jeremiah 29:10. God had spoken to Daniel's generation probably 20 or 40 years before they were taken to Babylon. God spoke through Jeremiah. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. It's Daniel and his generation. They were indeed in the final years of their exile. Because they came to Babylon when they were 15, 16. Now Daniel is in his 80s. So he knew in a few years he was going to witness God fulfill his promise. He understood no matter what he was going through in his current circumstance, they were just temporary. So he chose to fix his eyes on the ultimate goal, on the vision of God's plan for him and his people. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, the Apostle Paul says this, "Fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Just like Daniel, we face challenges, obstacles, in our daily life. It may be at works, at families, even at schools. But we are called to fix our eyes on the ultimate goal, on the vision of God's plan for us instead of our current circumstances. As many of you already knew, actually, the lion's den didn't stop Daniel at all. God rescued him. Rescued him from the lion's den. So that confirmed what Daniel did here was absolutely right. We don't need to worry about our current situations or circumstance. All we need to do is fix our eyes on the unseen, on God's promise, on God's purpose, God's plan for us. What's God's plan for them? Jeremiah 29:11. You can see this verse in every campus of Elim Christian Center on the wall. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and the future. You see, today as Christians in modern world, we find ourselves in a very similar situation as Daniel. Right? We are not in Jerusalem. We are in Babylon. We are surrounded by cultures, by values. They were not the same as what we believe. But because we are in Babylon, the same principle applies to us. Because we are in Babylon, the same promise speaks to us. So we need to see beyond our circumstances, because God's plan for us is to give us hope in the future, is to prosper us, not to harm us. We need to practice this when we get home. Imagine ourselves sitting in a room with a closed window. We need to open the window, push the window. Push aside the obstacles. Push aside all the distractions. Visualize ourselves standing in the promise of God. Standing where God wants us to be. See beyond your circumstances. Fix our eyes on what is unseen, not what is seen. What's next? Let's get back to the verse 16. Three times a day, Daniel got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God. Giving thanks to what? You are going to be thrown into lion's den, Daniel. Daniel, even when things weren't going his way, he still gave thanks to God. So the next action we need to take in our daily routine is we praise God through every situation. We praise God through every situation. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18. It says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. When my mom was here during the New Year holidays, she loved to cook Chinese dishes for my kids. By the way, I love it because that brings back my childhood memory. But my kids grew up here. They prefer chips, pizza, and ice cream. So every time when my mom prepared the Chinese dishes on the table, my mom would proudly say, hey, look what I just cooked for you. And my kids' reaction would be, what? They are making me trouble. So I need to remind them. I need to remember, hey, come on. What do you say now? So they would be like, thank you, Grandma. We are so hungry. Thank you, Grandma. They had to pretend they love my mom's cooking. My dear friends, our God is not my kid's grandma, expecting you to pretend to love whatever he gives you. There's something we need to understand. The bad situations, the disappointing circumstances are not part of God's plan in the first place. Throwing Daniel into lion's den is not God's plan. It was an evil scheme. It's not from God. God's plan was to rescue him from the trouble. So when we say we praise the Lord through every situation, we are not praise God for the situation itself, for the trouble itself. We praise God. When we praise God through every situation, we are actually making a powerful declaration, I am not stuck in this circumstance. Because my God will always fulfill his good promise for my life. We don't praise the doctor for sickness, right? We praise the doctor for his cure. We praise God for his deliverance, for his solution, for his salvation, for his provision in our life. And worship team, please come up. So once again, praise God through every situation enables us to fix our eyes on what is unseen, not on what is seen. So you see, see beyond your circumstance and praise God through every situation, come hand in hand all the time. If you want to see beyond your current circumstance, you need to learn praise God through every situation. When you praise God through every situation, you are able to see beyond your circumstance. You are able to witness how God fulfilled his promise for your life. You know, let's get back to the flight club in South Auckland. Let's think about this scenario. After John and I took off the ground, instead of flying directly over the ocean to Coromandel Peninsula, John, the pilot, turned the plane towards Great South Road. Why do you do that? And wherever there is a traffic light on the ground, we stop in the air until it turns green. And we always give way. We always give way when there is a roundabout on the road. Give way to what? Cloud? So friends, if John flying the plane by following the rules and map on the ground, I'm jump out of the window. I'm done. Okay? When you are flying in the sky, don't limit yourself by the rules and map on the ground. Your life is designed to soar at a different altitude for a greater purpose. My friends, as I wrap up today's message, let me share this verse with you. In Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7, the Apostle Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." So you see, Paul is reminding us that we are not subject to the limitations of this physical realm. We are transcending to the spiritual realm. We are living in a whole different dimension by the law which is not constrained by our earthly circumstances. That's the truth of your life. I want to take a moment to speak to those who don't know Jesus yet. Or maybe you once followed Jesus, but now for some reason you feel you are far from God. And today you are here because God has a great plan for your life. And He wants you to know He wants to fulfill His good promise for your life. The Bible teaches us that we all have sinned. We all fallen short of God's glory, God's standard. And our sin has separated us from God. That's why you feel you're far from Him. But by God's grace, He sent His one and only Son, Jesus, to the world, died for us. As Jesus died on the cross, He took on Himself the penalty for our sin. And then He extended this grace to all of us here today. Forgiveness for your past. Hope for your future. New life for you now. The eternal life with God in heaven. Today, I want to encourage you to take a step of faith, to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because God wants to empower you to see beyond your circumstances. He wants you to know He will always fulfill His good promise for your life. I'm going to lead you into a simple prayer. I'm going to pray out loud. All you need to do is pray in your heart by following me. By praying this prayer, you are going to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and your life will never be the same again. Now let's do it. Dear Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. I admit I am a sinner, and I know, Jesus, you died for me. Today, I choose to turn away from my old life and turn to you. And I choose from today to follow you and live for you. Please reveal your plan for me and transform me into the person you have designed. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.